Christmas. Yarrow the birds.
Bobby! That's enough! Hail! Satan!
Greetings, heathens. Welcome to Hail Satan. This is the podcast exploring Satanism, culture, and life in general through the eyes of modern Satanists. My name is Joseph Rose. I'm lucky enough to be a member of the world's finest satanic congregation. We're called Satanic Delco, and we welcome members from anywhere in the world. If you want to learn more, visit satanicdelco.com. Today, I'd like to talk about why we, as a society, are so lenient when it comes to the inherent anti-science views held by the majority of Americans, and some of the dangers that come with that leniency. Before I go any further, I'd like to acknowledge a bunch of cool people who have joined us on Patreon. We've got Judas, Queer Doll, Matthew, Cameron, Madison, Kyle, Sabrina, Thomas, Victor, Zachariah, Lance, Brian, Houdini, Corbin, The Mutt Artist, Preston, Plague Widow, Ariel, another Kyle, David, The Happy Heathen, Phoenix, Kerry, Luke, Paul, Gajag, and PHX Ghost Hunter. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate you all, and I will get to a bunch more of you later in the episode just to break it up a bit, if that's cool. If you have a moment, please visit our website here at HailSatanPodcast.com. You'll find links to join me on social media, a form to send an email, and a link to join up with Satanic Delco on Patreon. We have a few different tiers to choose from with various benefits, including the awesome Greetings from Hell Satanic Postcard of the Month Club. Everybody seems to be loving that one. We've got incredible artwork coming out that way every month. And this is the most direct way you can support this whole thing if you'd like to do that. So visit HailSatanPodcast.com. Thank you. Okay. Now, I know this is shocking, but I have an opinion about something. I think adults who believe in an all-knowing, infinitely powerful Sky Lord who created everything, including the creation of mankind in his own image, can't really be trusted. They certainly can't be trusted to value evidence-based science over fantasy, and generally can't be trusted to be a reasonable, logical person who makes arguments in good faith, no pun intended. I believe it tells us some things about that person. Functionally, we can split Christians into two groups. There are those who take the Bible literally and believe a ton of wild, ridiculous nonsense. And then there are those who pick and choose which parts of it to take literally and which to explain away as parable or translation issues, based on how overtly silly and objectively false those passages are. So let's get into this a little bit. There are two primary elements that I've focused on when thinking about this. One is compassion, and the other is truth. I'll start with compassion. This is hopefully stating the obvious to you, but being compassionate is important, and it's a value that is paramount in modern Satanism, particularly for people who align with the seven tenets. As Satanists and outsiders generally, we should be familiar enough with the idea of religious freedom. Because we're such a small minority religion and one that is generally misrepresented in the mainstream, we're often in a position of having to defend ourselves and fight an uphill battle toward religious equality. And because of all that, we're naturally sensitive to the idea of being compassionate when it comes to religious freedom or equality. Now, I'm going to make a statement that I bet sounds reasonable to most. Here we go. People should be allowed to follow and practice whatever religion they choose without persecution. How does that sound? It sounds like a no-brainer, right? Well, I'm going to tweak it just a little bit, see if it gets any better. People should be allowed to follow and practice whatever religion they choose without persecution as long as their religious practice doesn't negatively impact anyone else. I think that version is more complete and better. We'd like to be able to take that last part for granted and not need to even think about it. But I've found that that isn't the case. As of 2019, Christians represent 65% of the total adult population of the United States. Now, simply saying Christian doesn't exactly tell the whole story of what a person believes. There's a spectrum of beliefs among Christians, of course. But at the end of the day, to be a Christian means that you do believe certain things and your religion is centered on the text of the Holy Bible. Among many other stories and ideas, some of the ideas and events put forth in the Holy Bible are God creating the earth and all of its creatures, including humans, within the first week of its existence. We have virgin birth, walking on water, healing the blind, exorcising demons, and let's not forget everyone's favorite, resurrection of the dead. Let's all agree that if a person identifies as a Christian, they believe in those things. They're all pretty fundamental to the story of Christianity. Some of the Christians I've interacted with recently, and there's been a lot of them, explained it this way. The rules of the earth and science do apply, but since God is God, he can break those rules and create miracles, which is the case for all of those impossible things that happen in the Bible. It's simply the most convenient way for one to say that they totally believe in science. But here's this obvious exception to all the rules because, you know, God power. Mind you, these Christians that supposedly believe in science have completely abandoned the scientific method. The scientific method is an empirical method of acquiring knowledge that has characterized the development of science since at least the 17th century. It involves careful observation and applying rigorous skepticism about what is observed, given that cognitive assumptions can distort how one interprets the observation. It is my view that one cannot apply the scientific method and be a Christian at the same time. No person who is using careful observation and applying rigorous skepticism about what is observed is coming out of that process with any reasonable evidence for God or the many miracles that happen in the Bible. These people are doing the exact opposite of what's laid out in our fifth tenet, which of course says beliefs should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. One should take care never to distort scientific facts to fit one's belief. They are the textbook example of distorting scientific facts to fit one's beliefs. Rather than ending their examination with a conclusion or theory, they start with the belief in God and his miracles, but because they have no evidence whatsoever, they simply make up rules or explanations after the fact. They use, quote, science as the mortar holding together their house of bullshit bricks. If I'm not mistaken, the official scientific term for this is pulling it out of one's ass. Maybe it's silly and kind of cliche to compare God to Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny, and I've found that Christians get sort of annoyed about that. But it really is the best comparison. These are widespread, absurd tales that are usually introduced to children while they're very young and gullible. And these tales have the exact same amount of evidence in favor of their truth as the story of the Christian God, which is to say, none whatsoever. No evidence. Slow down for a moment and really consider that. 65% of adults in America believe these fairy stories based on the exact same evidence that supports the existence of the Easter Bunny. And as a society, this is apparently okay. Maybe the most unfortunate part is that they are the majority, and that comes with power. But despite that, when I really allow myself to think about it all like this, I'm still somehow surprised and disappointed. I can't quite understand how or why it was ever allowed to get to this point. When society continues to accept and normalize Christianity, we are accepting and normalizing a deprioritization, if that's a word, of evidence and science generally. We're standing by while people are teaching children to abandon or at the very least put an artificial limit on critical thinking before they're even old enough to know what's happening to them. And not only that, but we have a staggering number of Christian schools whose mission is to specifically indoctrinate children with these ideas. Why is this okay? How is this even fucking legal? Is it because we're being compassionate in offering religious freedom? Are we just being so nice that saving Christians' feelings is more important than pursuing the truth as a society? When a president shouts joyously about God from a podium somewhere, he should be laughed out of office for being an unqualified anti-science weirdo that is incompatible with modern society. They should be treated at best like flat earthers. But instead, he's cheered. Politicians brag about being a man of faith. Even if they don't mean it, they still have to pretend to be an uneducated fool in order to appeal to the majority of America. I find it to be a sad, confusing cycle. Now, why is this a problem? Why is this dangerous? The United States has the largest Christian population in the world, with nearly 205 million Christians running around this country. As an example, let's suppose you find yourself charged with a crime. Maybe you fit a description. Maybe you found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Do you feel confident or safe knowing that the jury could very likely be made up of people that require no tangible evidence whatsoever in order to believe something is true? At some point, someone told them, "Hey, there's an all-powerful being in the sky. He made everything and he knows everything." And they believed it. No evidence required. And now that same person has been told that you are guilty of a crime. Should people that require no evidence to believe something be on juries? Would it be wrong of us as a people to decide that they don't belong on juries? Would it be unfair religious discrimination to keep people like that off juries and other situations where rigorous skepticism is a fundamental part of the process? When they check that box on an application that says Christian, should that information be used to rule them out of certain positions? If SpaceX was looking to hire a lead engineer on their new rocket design, should I be given that job out of some desire for compassion or equality? Or would the smart, reasonable thing be for SpaceX to hire someone else because I'm simply too stupid and unqualified for that position? Is it not fair for people or companies to decide that folks who label themselves as inherently anti-science aren't qualified for some things, like anything that requires reasonable adult thought, for example, and certainly anything related to science? I guess my primary question boils down to this. Is it more important that we be inclusive to all religions just for the sake of blind inclusivity? Or is it more important to pursue and accept the truth in all matters at all times? As a society, which of these is more valuable? Now, what are some other ways the downplaying of science can manifest itself in our world? How about a timely, popular example? Attitudes toward vaccines. Here's a quote from a very successful former Playboy model, author, and of course, former Catholic school student, Jenny McCarthy. She said, "My sisters and I used to lay with rosaries and statues all over our bodies because we thought that would protect us from Satan." And yes, as an adult woman, she does still believe in God. As you may know, some years back she got quite a bit of attention as she made the rounds on mainstream media outlets telling everyone that her young son had developed autism as a result of the common MMR vaccine. She then went on to say that she had cured his autism with a gluten-free diet, among other things. She is a good example of the kind of Christian genius I'm talking about. Now, fast forward into a world full of COVID-19, where we find ourselves, and we see all sorts of anti-vaccine sentiment. I won't harp on it now, but I could go on and on. And there are more than enough ridiculous ideas out there like Flat Earth, Young Earth, Christian Science, QAnon, and countless others. Now, allow me to change gears a bit here. Somewhere in the midst of thinking about all this, I got to wondering how Satanists counteract this stuff on an individual level. I reached out to some of the parents in Satanic Delco. I asked them this specific question. As a parent, when your child comes to you asking, "Is God real?" what do you say? Do you prioritize letting them choose to believe whatever they want? Or do you prioritize telling them the truth as best you understand it, and why? And I thought it would be fun for them to record their answers, so I'm going to play some of those for you now. Some of these have been edited a bit for time and focus, and after some of them I may chime in and argue with their recordings like a pain in the ass, because that's my job. But here we go. First up is Brittany.
If my kids were to come to me and ask if God was real, I would simply answer that I don't know. None of my kids are baptized. Religion is not something that's very important to me. I wanted the option to be open for them when they were older to make that decision for themselves. If there's a religion that they would personally like to pursue, that's totally fine. If there's a, they don't want to pursue religion, that's also fine. I just wanted that choice to be 100% theirs. But just simply, if they were to ask if God was real, I would just answer that I don't know and nobody really knows.
Okay. So about the I don't know and nobody really knows part, this is just my gut reaction rebuttal to that. Would that answer remain the same if the child's question was, is Scientology true? Or even better yet, Mom, is there an elephant-sized duck orbiting Pluto right now? I bet you can't actually prove that there isn't an elephant-sized duck orbiting Pluto right now, right? There is exactly the same evidence supporting an elephant-sized duck orbiting Pluto right now as there is for the existence of the Christian God. So why would they ever be treated any differently? Is it different just because one is filed under religion? Well, then apply it to Scientology, for example. Does it hold up? Next up, we have Carrie.
When kids ask that question, if God is real, I feel like that's a deep question that deserves an honest answer because it can change the way they look at the whole world. So when my son asked me that, I just tried to be as honest with him as I could. And I said, I don't know for 100%, and there's no way for anybody to say for 100%, but that I hadn't seen any evidence that made me believe that God was real, but that there were people that I respect who had come to a different conclusion about that. So eventually he answered it for himself using his own experiences and observations, and I just kind of tried to give him the tools that he needed and stay out of his way until he could do that.
All right. I mostly vibe with that. Again, I would be more definitive, I guess, but that's just my style, and everyone is going to have their own parenting style, as they should. Next up, we have Damien.
Okay, so this is a bit of a tricky question. I am a new Satanist. I have not been one for very long, just the past few months. And my wife is still Christian. She's aware of my new religious preferences. And we have kind of collaborated to decide that we're going to let our kids grow up to believe whatever they want to believe. But she would feel more comfortable, and I agree, that she would like to raise the kids as Christian. However, I only support this because as a child, my Christian upbringing is what I credited my values and the things that I kind of got out of it. I felt like were positive, but there were still a lot of really, really negative things that I got from it, which kind of leads into the main question, like, what would I do if my kids asked me if God was real? And I think I heard from Ricky Gervais, he's really the one that said it best, which is he would say, well, you know, I don't, but, you know, a lot of people don't. And a lot of people do. What do you think? You know, and I think that's like a really good direction to start taking it with kids, especially really young ones like mine. My kids are 4 and 7. And if they were to ask me if God was real, that has been how I've been handling that. They ask me questions about religion all the time. And more often than not, I give them a fairly neutral answer. You know, a lot of people think this, a lot of people think that. What do you think? And I've been just trying to take it in that direction. I am not really prioritizing this in any way. I don't think I need to make them believe one thing or another. The truth is, I understand it has been based on all of my life experiences put together. And I can try to convince them of that, which is what my Christian upbringing did, which is kind of created all of the things I disagree with as far as like all the problems it made, or letting them believe what they want to believe. I believe, 10 times out of 10, I want them to believe whatever they want to believe. You are your own person. You are your own master. And the flexibility with so many different versions of Christianity is that if the kids ask me a question, like I think the other day, one of them asked me, what is like a demon? And I said, oh, that's not real. You know, so I have a little bit of flexibility there where I can do the sort of Santa Claus myth and turn it into a spirit of positivity and a kind of contextual mechanism for social change rather than something that they really ought to believe in. That's something supernatural, more of a moral framework than anything, preaching things that are good about the Christian religion, like self-sacrifice and things. But no, I definitely don't want to outright tell them that God's real. As weird as that sounds.
All right. That doesn't sound weird at all, really. So Damien is on the believe whatever they want to believe vibe. Next, we have one from Darcel. You guys remember Darcel?
My household consists of a healthy mix of religious views. There are 6 of us living under the same roof, and we each have our own beliefs when it comes to the existence of a higher power. I am a Satanist, The kid's father is a theist, but does not subscribe to any particular religion or denomination. And the kids are a mix of theist, atheist, and who gives a fuck. I call it a healthy mix because we're all respectful of each other's views and able to freely discuss our beliefs without making each other feel like opposing ideologies are wrong. I believe religion is a very personal thing, and I am proud to have raised a family who is able to live in a religiously pluralistic home. That being said, I have had conversations related to God with my children on a few occasions. In a home that practices religious pluralism, it's important to make sure to say things in a way that respect all views. The first statement I make is that I do not believe in God. I explain that my disbelief in the supernatural is science-based. There is no tangible evidence or proof that God exists or that the devil exists, so I choose not to believe in those things. Then I explain to them that it's up to them what they choose to believe in. If they choose to believe in a God, I will not judge them or make them feel bad about it. But I've also told them that since God is not a real being, to make up and follow their own versions of what they want their God to be. Don't follow any arbitrary rules and guidelines put in place by old men. Make God the imaginary being that you want it to be. My hope is that I will inspire the kids to live outside the box. I want them to think critically about everything in life, especially religion, and to choose their own paths. It doesn't matter to me if they believe in a God, as long as they don't follow the words and teachings of men blindly and without any common sense.
Look at Darcel chiming in with a full narrator voice recording there. She has a pretty good balance there, I think. She allows for some openness while making it clear that there is no evidence to support such things. Shall we do just a couple more of these? Here's what Lance had to say.
Hi, I'm Lance. I'm a parent of an 18-year-old son who's going to be graduating this year. I had my son at a period of my life where I was wholly naive of my own actions and how I could come out of the closet, partially because of religious issues, partially because of my own fears. And as such, unfortunately, it was close to birth when his mother and I parted. It took me a while to figure out my own relationship with religion and my own relationship with myself in the years that followed. So in the beginning, religious beliefs played a significant role in my child's life, primarily because of my parents who helped babysit when I was working, would always take him to church. And his mother, too, I would classify her as moderately religious. Now, when I came into a better understanding of my own religious views, I didn't try to influence him at all. I mean, my parents were deeply religious. Broaching that subject with them and him, that'd be worse than coming out as gay. Now, when he was 12, unfortunately, his grandmother was diagnosed with ALS. And that's when many questions started to come through his mind on what death was. And shortly after her death, did have a talk. He came to me and asked, "What happens to us after we died?" And I said, "I don't know. I mean, many people on this earth have a lot of ideas on what's happening after death. Some people believe after you die, there's an afterlife and you go see your loved ones. I don't subscribe to that view, but that's what it is. It's a view. It doesn't make me right. It doesn't make me wrong. And your mom might believe something else." And we talked a bit longer about how it's okay to feel sad, and we kind of left it at that. I asked him to speak with his mother on this subject, so I wasn't the only person providing some input. So I think it's a journey. I think it's a journey that he has to take on his own. And I'm more than willing to give my advice, prompted or otherwise, because you have to come to terms with that yourself. I think it's helpful to have both sides of the story, and I don't think many people have that. But I'm far less worried about what he believes. It's more essential that I show him that I care. And I think that's something I'd love to see more Christian parents do.
Lance also coming in strong with the narrator voice. And I agree, it would be nice to see more Christian parents do that. I will play just one last one. We've got one from Robin.
Hi, so I have a 7-year-old daughter. And this question came up just this past summer when we were on a camping trip in South Dakota, and it was unique in the place that she asked this because we were visiting the Wounded Knee Memorial site on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, and my daughter asked by the car. She was playing with a stick, kind of drawing around on the sand, and she says, "Is God important?" I had to think for a moment how to approach her with this. I've always had an idea in my head, but I wasn't sure if this was the right age to share this with her. She's had some Catholic education, as she did first grade at a Catholic school. So I just went with it and told her that God is important, but God is a metaphor for love and not a being or a divine person in the sky that watches over us and judges us. And I tried to explain the importance of love in the world and love in nature and how the earth, the things on the earth, everything comes together out of love, even the simplest thing like a plant, or even the way something dies and feeds the rest of the creatures on earth. I put this more delicately for her, and I did not talk about afterlife with her at this point. I just wanted her to understand that God isn't this punishing sorcerer in the sky, and it's just as simple as the word love.
Now, Robin's take is really interesting because it offers this really soft, sweet alternative idea of what God is, which is pretty much the opposite of the nasty, jealous God that is described in the Old Testament. It's a shame that everyone else doesn't have that view. So thank you to all of my lovely congregation mates in Satanic Delco who offered up these recordings. That was very cool. I'd like to do more of that moving forward. Let me know if that seems like a good idea. Now, in case my own stance isn't clear, let me talk about it. Here's my issue with asking a kid, what do you think? Or saying things like, you can believe whatever you want. It's a child. What they think about a scientific fact isn't really relevant. They think that they're going to be a flying wizard when they grow up, right after they graduate from whatever school Harry Potter went to. They think an Easter bunny leaves them money in exchange for human body parts. When a parent says, you can believe whatever you want, does that apply to math? Do the real answers matter in life, or is it just about freedom of thought? And if you wouldn't just let your child have a feeling about math, why do we have such a lower standard for science? I find it to be strange. If doing this episode has taught me one thing, it is that Christianity has succeeded in embedding itself so deeply into our culture that even science-preaching Satanists don't feel comfortable being fully honest and factual in answering what would normally be a very simple question to a child. That question, is God real, can be replaced by any similarly unsupported fairy story. Is Bigfoot real? Is Krampus real? Is Buzz Lightyear or Santa Claus or Big Bird real? All of these questions share the same evidence and the same amount of reasons to be unsure of their validity. Christians have succeeded in convincing you their bullshit story is somehow elevated above all the other bullshit stories out there. They've made theirs more important to the extent that otherwise reasonable adults are hesitant to treat it like what it is, a bullshit story made up by people. The other thing that I was reminded of while doing this episode and talking to so many members of Satanic Delco is the reality that us modern Satanists have a beautiful, wide spectrum of beliefs about just about every damn thing. The very best of us question each other. We debate and bicker sometimes. But I think we have an underlying understanding that as critical thinkers, that just comes with the territory. Underneath it all is a foundation of respect, and I really genuinely appreciate that. Before I get out of here, I'd like to acknowledge some more of the awesome people that have joined up with us on Patreon recently. We've got Trent, Alex, Carly, Tania, Logan, Carrie, a crouton, I don't know, Jaylin, Hannah, Manuel, Anna, Asher, Ashlyn, Alistar, Greg, Occam's Laser, Tansy, James, Sarah, Jesse, Drew, Emily, Stephen, Dr. Nova, Jeremy, Brandon, Matthias, maybe? Justin, Rebecca, Allison, and Emily. Thank you all very much. I appreciate your support, and I look forward to having you all contribute to Satanic Delco in your own ways. If you've got a moment, please visit the website at HailSatanPodcast.com. I'd like for you to stay safe out there, and hail Satan. Evil free, Sarah Simmerfoo Simpson.